one of several works that Schubert left unfinished, his Quartettsatz in C minor, a single movement from an unfinished string quartet. And it ends this concert given by the Escher String Quartet, the violinists Adam Barnett-Hart and Wu Jie, the viola player Pierre Pointe and the cellist Dane Johansson. They gave that concert at St Mariat Hill in Eastcheap in the parish of Billingsgate at the 2011 City of London Festival.
Discover classical music in Radio Three Dimensions.
Franz Schubert was a young man who knew how to party, maybe too much. His friends worried about the company he kept. They could see that he was drinking and smoking heavily. This ultimately fatal sensual craving may be one of the reasons why he never completed his famously unfinished symphony, a work full of brooding and dark emotions.
The music, the passion, the inspiration. Discover Schubert with BBC Radio 3. Search online for Radio 3 Dimensions.
Yes, Schubert was our Composer of the Week all this past week, presented by Donald MacLeod. You can catch up with any of those programmes that you may have missed via the BBC Radio 3 website. And I see that there's music by Schubert in our lunchtime concerts tomorrow, live from the Wigmore Hall, as ever on a Monday. A song recital this week by the baritone Florian Bursch with Malcolm Martineau at the piano. Songs by Schubert and Wolf tomorrow afternoon, just after 1 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 3. This Sunday afternoon, it's just after 2 o'clock. And time now for this week's Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
I guess you usually have to be pretty important to be known by just one single name. And in today's Early Music Show, we're looking at one of the most influential musical figures of the 13th century, the French composer known simply as Perrotin. In fact, he's one of just a handful of composers of his day whose name has been preserved at all and can be reliably attached to specific works, which is entirely due to the testimony of an anonymous English student who, looking back some 70 or so years, referred to him as Magister Perrotinus, Perrotin the Master. We're going to hear recordings by several different groups today to give us an idea of the various ways Perrotin's music has been performed in modern times. And we'll start with one of his best-known works, Beata Viscera, a melody known as a conductus. The music was most likely sung as the Book of Scriptures was ceremoniously carried from its place of safekeeping to the lectern, where it would be read. The text is attributed to the French theologian and poet Philip the Chancellor. Blessed womb of the Virgin Mary, whose breasts suckled the King of great name. Concealing his divine strength under the cloth of flesh, he spelled out the covenant between God and man. Countertenor Geoffrey Dunstan Williams from the group New York Polyphony with a setting of Beata Viscera by the composer known as Perrotin. Perrotin, or Perotinus as he's sometimes called, is one of the very earliest composers whose name has come down to us and whose music we still hear today. But we know very little about him. He seems to have lived to a grand age, from around 1160 to 1240, and was the most famous member of what's become known as the Notre Dame School, the group of composers associated with the great Paris Cathedral, which during the whole of Perrotin's lifetime seems to have been under constant construction. Paris was a centre of culture, and while scholars, teachers and monks flocked to the city to engage in intellectual exchanges, composers too were experimenting with rhythm and harmony, developing new sounds and techniques, quite cutting-edge stuff for its time. But what sort of music was it? Well, we've just heard a solo voice with a conductus, and our next piece is a three-part organum, O Maria Virgine. Here we find the very earliest beginnings of polyphony, an embryonic sort of harmony, you might say, from the early 1200s, and the stuff that was to make Perrotin such a pivotal figure in the history of Western music. The performers are those pioneering exponents of early vocal music, the Hilliard Ensemble.
Thank you.
O Maria Virgine, performed by the Hilliard Ensemble, who have long championed the works of Perrotin. There's something beautiful and I think rather pure about the way the Hilliards approach Perrotin, spiritual even. Now, though, we're going to hear a rather different take on this 13th century composer by his compatriots, the French-based singers Ensemble Organum. As we'll hear, their director Marcel Perez argues for a slower, more stately feel, and the low pitch and edgy vocal tone isn't a million miles away from one of those Russian Orthodox choirs. But maybe that's just what's needed. After all, this is a text about the purging of vice and the washing away of sin. The world turned towards death, they sing, confirms the fall by the evidence of its perfidy. Perrotin's Deus Misertus Hominis.
Amen.
Ensemble Organum, directed by Marcel Perez, with Deus Misertus Hominis by Perrotin, recorded in 1995. And an interestingly different style of performance from that of the Hilliard Ensemble recording back in the 1980s. Let's go back earlier still now, to the mid-1970s, and a recording of Perrotin's music by the Early Music Consort of London under David Munro. This really was pioneering stuff. It's a substantial piece, it lasts some 12 minutes, and it's Perrotin, I think, at his greatest and most characteristic. This time we have a four-part organum, long-held notes in the lower voice, above which other parts have a bouncy dancing rhythm. Sometimes it's hard to believe that the lower voices are singing an actual text at all. The words are so long and drawn out that each syllable just takes an age. You'll also hear how the music is regularly interspersed with sections of unison plainsong, almost like a little breather, a moment of calm togetherness before embarking on another prolonged passage of organum. Viderunt omnes. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That is some amazing sound. David Munro and his Early Music Consort of London, as fresh today as they ever were. The revival of Perrotin over the past few decades is, of course, all part of the more general revival of interest in early music. But I think it's more than that. There's something in the clear repetition of easily absorbed ideas in a large space stretched out over time that perhaps holds a special appeal in an age like ours that's moved by the apparent simplicity of, for example, a great Rothko painting, a windswept sculpture of an angel alongside a motorway, or a giant installation in the Tate Modern Entrance Hall, or the minimalism of composers like Steve Reich or Philip Glass. The old meets the new, as it were, as we'll hear next. Alleluia Nativitas is a track from a disc released a few years ago, a collaboration between the Hilliard Ensemble, whom we heard earlier, and the saxophonist Jan Gabarek. There's a kind of rhythmic rocking motion throughout, as notes are bounced back and forth between the voices, a particular style of this period that's called hocketing. It's 13th century Perrotin, and yet it's so modern. Thank you. The Hilliard Ensemble and sax player Jan Garbarek breathing new spirit into medieval music. Perrotin's 800-year-old motet, Alleluia Nativitas. Our next piece is also another modern take on Perrotin, although for a different reason. In his day, women, like Hildegard of Bingen, for instance, might have written music or indeed performed it within the confines of a convent. And certainly there's evidence that in medieval nunneries, music was very rich and the teaching of it was at a high level. But it's only in relatively recent times that women have been allowed to sing liturgical music in public. Which is a shame, because in many ways the music of Perrotin and the Notre Dame school is ideally suited to female voices. Their sound can highlight the effect of harmony and texture in a way that's quite different from men's voices. And there's a special kind of clarity. One group who certainly feels strongly about this is the Danish-based ensemble Musica Ficta. Eight female singers directed by Bo Holten, who we're going to hear now, in Perrotin's Alleluia Possui Adiutorum. I have set my judgment over the powerful and exalted, the chosen one of my people.
Thank you.
the all-female singers of Musica Ficta, directed by Bo Holten, with Alleluia Possui Adiutorim by the most important composer from the 12th and 13th century Notre Dame school, Perrotin. Well, for our final piece in today's programme, we're going to hear one of Perrotin's most famous and substantial works. It's part of the liturgy for the Feast of St. Stephen on the 26th of December, the day, of course, when good King Wenceslas famously looked out. Perrotin and his contemporaries played an important role in recasting and elaborating the plain chant repertoire to create two, three and even four-part polyphony, as we're going to hear in a moment. It's a dense texture, low in the vocal range on this recording, and below the rocking, moving parts, we can again hear the low, sustained notes. As it slowly changes pitch, the tenor part creates a sense of harmonic modulation, a sort of gear change, as if a new colour has emerged. Perrotin's masterful, composed lines are sung now by another English group which champions this repertoire, the Orlando Consort. Listen out for some extraordinary modern-sounding harmonies along the way. So to take us to the end of today's programme, here's Perrotin's setting of Sederunt Principes. The princes sat and spoke against me, and the wicked persecuted me. Help me, O Lord my God, save me for thy mercy's sake.
Sederunt Principes by the French medieval composer Perrotin, performed by the Orlando Consort, with a little help during the plainsong passages from the choristers of Westminster Cathedral, directed by James O'Donnell. The Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced by Helen Garrison. And Lucy is back next Sunday afternoon with music performed by the group Ensemble Touricum. That's from last year's Zurich Early Music Festival. The Early Music Show at the same time, 2 o'clock next Sunday, here on BBC Radio 3, where there's more choral music in an hour from now.
On the choir today on BBC Radio 3, I'm looking at the world of choral societies with the help of Richard Cook and Ronald Corp. The film composer Debbie Wiseman shares some of her choral favourites and another choral classic, Elgar's Dream of Gerontius. Join me, Sarah Moore Peach, for the choir this afternoon at 4 o'clock on Radio 3.
Where it's now just after 3 o'clock and time for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast last Wednesday from the chapel of King's College, Cambridge. The service commemorates the late Sir John Taverner, who died in November. The canticles were commissioned by King's College in 1986, and the anthem There Is No Rose by the Northern Illinois University Choral Department in 2007. That's followed by a setting of a text by Mother Thecla, who for many years collaborated closely with Taverner. Today, the Virgin comes to the cave to give birth to the Word Eternal. The service begins with an introit, Hymn to the Mother of God, written in 1985 in memory of the composer's mother, and before it, an antiphon from Taverner's Christmas sequence Ex Maria Virgine, commissioned in 2005 by the choir of Clare College, Cambridge. Verbum caro factum est. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Thank you. declared his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Beloved, we are come together in the presence of Almighty God and of the whole company of heaven to offer unto him, through our Lord Jesus Christ, our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to make confession of our sins, to pray as well for others as for ourselves. Wherefore, let us remember God's presence with us now. Appointed for the 22nd evening, Psalms 108 and 109.